Welcome to Canada's National Bible Hour, a ministry of Mission Go. I'm Brian Albrecht, the President Emeritus and Director of Canada's National Bible Hour, and we are trying to reach the world for Jesus Christ. And Canada's National Bible Hour is one of our ministries to share the good news of the gospel around the world.
Today, a familiar verse from the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 33, which says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." If we live a godly life, God will bless us, open doors for us, and use us in a mighty way. That doesn't mean that we won't have problems. That doesn't mean we won't be persecuted. That doesn't mean that we'll always have good health. But it does mean whatever God allows to come into our life, he will be there with us. He's promised never to leave us or forsake us. He will help us through whatever we face. And he will bless us and add to us and give us an opportunity to represent him on earth and be ambassadors for Christ. What a great privilege we have to be alive in this day and age of such a confused world with so much sin abounding everywhere. And yet we can be lights in such a great darkness. This is Dennis Campbell, President of Mission Go. This week on the broadcast, I would like to share a mission moments and reports from some of our missionaries so you can get a glimpse of news from around the world this week. Supporting missionaries is a crucial part of spreading the message of Christianity and helping those in need around the world.
Here are some biblical verses that you can use to encourage Christians to hear and support missionaries. Romans chapter 10, verses 14, 15. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And I said, here am I, send me. These verses emphasize the importance of spreading the gospel, supporting missionaries, and being actively involved in missions work. Encourage fellow Christians to pray for, financially support, and actively participate in missions to fulfill the Great Commission and bring glory to God. Here is a quick note from Mano Young in India. Mano is very busy at Panagam, their senior home in India. She and her father and their staff team are currently caring for 43 individuals. Mano makes it a point to spend time with each individual and look after their well-being and needs. She oversees admissions, staff management, bookkeeping, accounts, and all government dealings. Their associate pastor, Pastor Alango, is also a great help in evangelism. The Lord gives power to grow the church through His word and love. Our church is surrounded by idol worshipers. Only the Lord's power and presence can break a person free from this bondage as we share the good news of the gospel. From our field members in Haiti, Deduckins and Laney St. Fart report, unless the Lord had given me help, I would soon have dwelt in the silence of death. Psalm chapter 94, verse 17. These words of the psalmist are still relevant today, especially for our missionaries in Haiti, who repeat them daily, given their country's situation. Watching pigs and dogs eat human flesh throughout the streets of Port-au-Prince is a traumatic experience. They have seen all of this. What they experienced was unprecedented and unheard of. The first part of 2024 was peppered with chaos never recorded in the country's history. God kept them alive through the storm. Thanks to the support of members of the body of Christ like you, they were able to stand and stay alongside their brothers and sisters. As you probably heard in the news, Haiti has experienced many difficult times this year. It was highly dangerous to be in the street in certain places in the capital. Many of their students were displaced, had family members kidnapped or killed in the chaos, or lost their jobs. Despite the chaos and insecurity, they did not give up, and their students held on to their studies for the sake of God's kingdom. Duckins and Laney, a missionary couple, praise God for the students' resilience and for being able to schedule some rare meetings with their students despite this chaos. While many were fleeing their country, God was sending students to seminary to be trained to continue to minister to His people. At the churches, people get saved each Sunday, and we are thankful that many students want to be trained, as there must be leaders ministering to the newly saved. And from our other team in Haiti, Jean and Jean Marie Joseph Ministry continues steadfastly in Haiti, despite the many difficulties the people are facing. Pastors and church leaders recently gathered for a two-day conference and seminars. It was a blessed time of encouragement, fellowship, and motivation for all participants. They were challenged to develop strategic church programs driven by vision and to cultivate holistic ministries that bring transformation to lives and communities for Christ. Despite the difficulties many faced in attending, their commitment and perseverance were truly inspiring. One pastor described it, "It was a long journey to reach this training. I walked, took a tap-tap public transportation, and took a motorcycle taxi for hours to arrive here finally. I felt exhausted until I reached my destination. However, from the first song and prayer to the benediction the next day, I was completely captivated and deeply moved by the teachings. All my weariness vanished, and I feel saddened that this seminar ended too soon." Together, we are truly transforming lives in southern Haiti for the glory of God. Thank you for listening these moments from the mission field. Thank you for listening to Canada's National Bible Hour. This is a listener-supported broadcast. This month we offer Stress to the Max Peace for Women Under Pressure by Joni Erickson Tada. Does it seem like your to-do list always gets longer instead of shorter? Do you try to slow down but find yourself scrambling to keep up? Stress is unavoidable, but it often seems you have more than your fair share. You can't continue at this pace forever, but there doesn't seem to be a way out. With characteristic understanding and compassion, Joni Erickson Tada helps you begin to slow down and sort through the sources of your stress. She offers the spiritual refreshment of Christ's loving presence and words of encouragement, along with practical, empowering suggestions for exchanging a stressful lifestyle for a life of rest. This program would not be on the air without your support and prayers. Thank you again. To order your copy, please write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Postal Box 1210, St. Catharines, Code L2R7A7, or in the U.S., P.O. Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, zip code 14231.
Today's message is from Reverend George Francisco and is entitled Ebenezer, the God Who Helps. Printed copies are available upon request.
The story of Ebenezer took place comparatively early in the history of Israel. Moses, you recall, led the children of Israel out of the bondage of Egypt. Under Joshua, the 12 tribes entered the Promised Land after wandering for 40 years in the wilderness. Then followed the period of the Judges. Israel would forget God, fall into idol worship. God would punish them by allowing their enemies to overcome them. Israel would then repent and call upon the Lord. And the Lord would then raise up judges such as Jephthah, Samson, or Gideon, and through them would deliver Israel. Samuel was the last judge of Israel, and he was prominent in the change of Israel's leadership from a theocracy to a monarchy, anointing Saul the first king of Israel. The story of Ebenezer takes place during Samuel's life, and we turn to it now, 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 3. And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, If ye do return to the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you from the Philistines. Then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth, and served the Lord only. And they gathered together in Mizpah, and drew water, and poured it out before the Lord, and fasted on that day, and said, We have sinned against the Lord. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together, the lords of the Philistine went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines, and said to Samuel, Cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. And Samuel took a sucking lamb, and offered it for a burnt offering, holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder that day upon the Philistines, and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, "Hitherto the Lord hath helped us." So the Philistines were subdued and came no more into the coast of Israel. Ebenezer was the commemoration of a great and wonderful deliverance of Israel by God's help. It was so significant that Samuel set up that special stone for a memorial, so that whenever people passed by, they would be reminded not only of that time of deliverance, but of all the times that God had helped them in the past. We need to note that the Bible teaches that God does help those who turn to Him. We're all familiar with the words of Psalm 46, which says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble," verse 1. In verse 5, again speaking of Israel, it says, "God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early." In Hosea 13 and 9, God declares to Israel, "O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help." So God is a God of help. He is willing to help not only Israel, but anyone who truly seeks him. For we have a promise in 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9, which says, "The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him." Do you need help today in your life, in your marriage, or in your work? God is a wonder-working helper and is waiting to help you and all who are troubled. But there must be a sincerity in our seeking if we would find God's help. In 1 Samuel 7, we see first that before Ebenezer can take place or the help of God come to us, there must be a preparation. Israel took several important steps before finding God's help. The first step was contrition. Verse 2 of 1 Samuel 7 says, "And all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord." That is, they were truly sorry for the way they had left God and followed their own sinful ways. Then, secondly, there was confession. Verse 6 says of Israel that they gathered together to Mizpah and said there, "We have sinned against the Lord." They not only knew that they had sinned, but they confessed their sins before God. There's a wonderful promise in the New Testament, 1 John 1 and 9. God's word says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins." Confession is an important part of bringing God's blessing and help to us. God can make such promises because Christ died on the cross for us and paid the full penalty of our sins. After confession, there was cleansing. In verse 3 of 1 Samuel 7, Samuel said to them, "Put away the strange gods among you." Israel had to be cleansed from their sins. Then they could face, pursue, and conquer their enemies. Scripture says that God thundered upon the Philistines, making them afraid, perhaps. And then, verse 11, the men of Israel pursued the Philistines and smote them. Just as those steps led Israel to Ebenezer, where God's mighty help came, they will lead you and me to finding God's help as well. God loves us, and he, like the father of the prodigal son, will run to meet us with words of kindness and forgiveness if we will turn to him with all our hearts. In Matthew 14, Jesus asked his disciples to go across the Sea of Galilee, and later he came walking on the water to them during a storm. Peter impetuously asked, in Matthew 14 and 30, "Bid me come unto thee on the water." Jesus said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. That short prayer, Lord, save me, brought the help that Peter needed. And a similar prayer will bring God's help to you as well. I invite you now to turn your heart and life over to the Lord Jesus Christ. Ask him to come into your heart and to your life, to forgive you and cleanse you from your sins, and to control every situation in which you have need. You will soon be able to say, Ebenezer, the Lord hath helped me when I needed it most. Then Ebenezer not only had an important preparation, but it also reveals the pathway to blessing in the Christian life. Verse 9 says, Samuel cried unto the Lord, and the Lord heard him. Prayer was an important part in bringing God's help to the nation. At the time, Israel was weak. The people were in personal distress. They were not prepared for war. Yet the Philistines chose that very moment to come against them in battle. Satan, God's enemy, is a skillful tactician, it seems. We can learn from this that we too have an enemy of the soul who will not attack us in our points of strength as much as in our points of weakness. It is when we are tired and burdened with trials and cares that Satan sends his strongest attacks. Temptations come at our weakest moment. Jesus said, Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Matthew 26:41. Prayer keeps us alert to the tactics of the enemy, and it puts us in a spiritual place where God's power can be connected to our need. Jesus continually instructed his disciples to pray. He said, Ask, and ye shall receive. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. Matthew 7. Again he said, All power is given unto me. Matthew 28. Prayer then connects us to the God of power. When Samuel cried unto the Lord heard him, and thundered a great thunder upon the Philistines. Brethren, we need to pray as Samuel did, for ourselves and for our families, that we will be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We need to pray for our pastors and churches, that they will be enabled to powerfully and effectively proclaim God's word in this sinful age. We need to cry out to God on behalf of our nation, which continues to drift away from God's word and God's ways. Job declared that God sends down the rain according to the amount of vapor that ascends. Chapter 36, verse 27. Could it be that God will rain down spiritual blessings only when the church gets desperate and sends up prayer as a torrent of vapor heavenward? Let us renew our commitment to prayer and seek God's face earnestly as Samuel did, so that we can have a spiritual Ebenezer. The second step in the pathway to blessing was the importance of the lamb. Verse 10 says, And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Lord thundered with a great thunder. Samuel offered up a lamb, and it was then that God sent heavenly help. Scripture says that Jesus is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. 1 John 1. He died to pay for our sins. When we realize that we can do nothing to save ourselves and come to the cross and accept God's Lamb for our sins, this enables God to pour out his blessing and forgiveness. When we stand and declare that Christ is God's Lamb sent from heaven for all mankind, then God can thunder, as it were, in the minds and the hearts of sinful men and melt those hearts of stone. Jesus said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me," John 12:32. To lift up Christ as God's Lamb is vitally important. It is the truth of the gospel, and truth is powerful. It is the gospel seed, and when it is sown in the minds and hearts of men, it will guarantee a spiritual harvest. Scripture says that God's Word and Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, Romans 1:16. Let us look to the Lamb, lift up the Lamb, stand unmovable for the Lamb. This will assure us of God's help and blessing. The stone Ebenezer that Samuel set up was a constant reminder to the people that God had helped them in every way in the past. Perhaps some thought back to their deliverance from Egypt, others to their time when God provided for them in the wilderness, still others to the times when God gave them victory over powerful military nations. Ebenezer reminded them that God had been faithful to them, even when they had been so unfaithful. There is inherent in all of this a promise for the future. For if God had helped them in every way in the past, then there is confidence that He would be there for them in the future. This is the essence of the New Testament teaching. Jesus said, "Have faith in God. Behold the fowls of the air. God provides for them. He will provide for us." I trust today that Ebenezer will be an important part of your life as you come and look for God's help and trust your heart and your life to Him.
I'm sure the Lord used this message in your life, and I trust that God will continue to work in your life throughout this next week. Here at Canada's National Bible Hour, we're very concerned about those who listen to our broadcasts. We pray for those who write in with requests, and also we're concerned about those who have never received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And the gospel is made very clear. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We know that the wages of that sin, the payment for our sin, is death, spiritual death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so basically we realize that we're a sinner and we need a Savior, and we ask Jesus to come into our life. We realize that God loves us and wants to have a relationship with us. And as we pray and ask Him, "But as many as receive Him, unto them gave He the right to become the children of God." So if we pray and ask Jesus to come into our life and we're sincere, the Bible tells us that we'll be changed, and we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us then. Our sins are forgiven. We have a relationship with God, and we can study the Word of God, and we can grow and know more about Him, and He will bless us and use us in a mighty way.
Remember to order your copy of Stress to the Max, Peace for Women Under Pressure by Joni Erickson Tada. To order your copy, please write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Postal Box 1210, St. Catharines, Code L2R7A7, or in the U.S., P.O. Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, zip code 14231. For more information about the Ministries of Mission, go visit www.missiongo.org. Please remember us in your prayers. Please have a blessed day.